Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at greatlakesdragaway.com.
Lake Dragaway, pick a lane on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan, Gary Ellerson, is here for him. Badger and Packer running back on National Signing Day for college football inside the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios.
Gene Wagner.
If you guys were all wondering about something to do and hang out this year or tonight, Milwaukee Admirals are in first place, best record in all of the AHL, and tonight's a winning Wednesday, so come on and hang out with us at the Milwaukee Admirals game. You can find me hanging out and talking stupid on the microphone like I get to do here on the Wendy's Big Show.
You never talk stupid.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Gary. That's very nice of you to say. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here as well, as Leap 36 is stumbling around these studios somewhere here. He'll join us at some point here, and you can join us at 414-799-1250. You can also hear the conversation Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler, Leap 36, had in a taped interview coming up tomorrow night, 6 to 7, right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Or tonight from 6 to 7, you can hear Pat Connaughton joining us on the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. He'll be hanging out with Bill Michaels live from Good City Brewing right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Starting up with the big topics on today's Wendy's Big Show in the right lane. Can Zion be as dominant as Giannis one day? These are the words from Giannis after the game on the aforementioned Zion Williamson.
He just got to figure it out. You know, when you're younger and you're taller than everybody and you got more length than everybody and you're, you know, stronger and all that, you know, it's easy, but, you know, when you're in high school and college. But now when you get to the pro, you got to be able to, you know, get your skill set right, get your fundamentals right, be sharp, get your footwork right. And eventually he's going to get all those things. And when he get all those things, he's going to be really good. He's going to have a lot of options. And he's going to help his team a lot better.
Now, the stat line wasn't great from Zion last night. Finished with, 20 points, but the shooting percentage maybe a little bit low, 5 of 19, but 5 assists, 7 boards, 10 of 14 from the free throw line. I was really impressed on what I got to see. We also did get to see them go up against each other a couple of times. Giannis got the best of them at the cup twice and stuffed them back. Some people thought it was a foul. I thought it was a pretty clean block. And then later on in the game, Giannis just grabs a rebound one-handed, and Zion comes over and rips it away. So he wanted it. The competitive drive is definitely something that's there. But, Gary Ellerson, you've been beating the drum for this guy Zion Williamson for quite some time. Number one overall pick. Do you believe that he can be as dominant as Giannis right now, or someday, at some point in his NBA career? Because Giannis right now is one of the most dominant players this league has seen.
Well, I think here's the difference for me. I think if you look at Giannis, I just don't – he's a double-double guy. Zion is. Giannis is a triple-double guy. And so, to me, I like that triple-double guy. I like that all-around player, and I think they have more weight on the game. Now, weight doesn't mean that Zion can't be, you know, really good basketball player. But I think what Giannis does, he's a little bit more versatile. Now, Zion can handle the ball, but I don't think he'll ever be able to handle the ball like Giannis. Now, and I know a lot of you folks don't like Jason Kidd, but if it wasn't for Jason Kidd, this guy is, you know, Don Nelson had to point forward. This is what a point forward really looks
sure.
like in the NBA. Thanks to Jason Kidd for putting this guy out at, you know, letting him bring the ball up a little bit and getting his skills down, handling the basketball.
Sparky, for you last night, what you saw out of Zion Williamson, what you've seen out of him first seven games in the NBA, averaging 20 points a game, however you're doing it, is an impressive, impressive feat. I thought that he could average 16 to 20 a game just because of, I mean, you break it down, guy dunks it 2 to 3 times a night, gets 2 putbacks a night. Right there, you're already at 10 points. You imagine that he's going to get at least one lob, and then you hit 1 or 2 jump shots, and you're right there at 15 to 20 points a night, and the opportunities are going to be there for him. But do you believe that he could be as dominant one day as Giannis right now, the most dominant player in the NBA?
I just don't see it. All-star, perennial all-star, somewhere in those areas, you know, 6-7-time all-star, sure. MVP of the league, no, I just don't know if I see that. I mean, his size is going to hinder him at times when he faces teams that are a little bit bigger than him. You saw what the Lopez brothers and Giannis did against him when he was trying to get to the rim and around that area. Like you said earlier when you started the discussion, his competitive streak is really what impressed me. I mean, you can just really tell. You know, when they pull him out 5, 5.5 minutes to go in the game, you could tell he didn't want to come out. And then by the time they put him back in, it was pretty much over because the Bucks went on a run as soon as his butt hit the wood. He comes back in and then makes that rip of Giannis, who at that point, you know, just had the ball over his head. I don't think he was thinking anyway he was going to take it. And to Giannis's defense, that doesn't really happen in the NBA. You don't see guys do that to other dudes in the NBA after a rebound. You just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's Zion's competitive nature of like, I'm not giving up. It's to hell with this. You're going to put the ball up there. I'm going to go grab it from you and do something with it. So again, I think that's all good. Now what we have to find out is, you know, how will he deal with his weight? Can he keep it off? Can he lose more weight? We talked about earlier, Charles Barkley played at 300 pounds in college and got all the way down to 250 during his playing career in the NBA. Can Zion Williamson do something similar? Or will he go the other way and end up with like guys that balloon up and can't keep the weight off and ruin their career? That really, to me, is the biggest deal because I just don't think you can play 10 years at his height, weighing 285, 290, with those knees and those ankles. I just don't think it's going to hold up.
I'm really convinced, though, that he is going to be able to lose some of the weight. Now, is he going to be a 240 guy at 6'6"? No.
He's going to be 260.
He's going to be closer to 260, yeah. 265. Also, we had one guy earlier today, and 414-799-1215. The phone lines are back open during Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane. I've always believed that it's easier to lose the weight rather than go and put it on somebody that's 190 pounds. You don't know how it's going to affect somebody. Weight can always fluctuate for different individuals. But look at John Henson. If John Henson put on 50 pounds, he was not nearly going to be the athlete that he was at that point. Giannis was able to distribute the weight across his entire body, and everybody looks and says, well, why can't you put on weight like that? You look at different players after they're done playing in the NFL. Joe Thomas. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on with these NFL players that are 300-plus pounds cut down to 240 within a matter of 6 months. I think it's going to be much more difficult for Zion to do so because if he's been carrying this weight at this point in his life, he's always going to be a very large individual.
We've seen guys in the past, Gary brought it up earlier in the show, about Eddie Lacy. He didn't have anybody watching over him in Green Bay, and he pretty much decided he was going to have his food that he wanted to have, what he wanted to have it. Joel Embiid fessed up. So when he came into the league, he was having guys sneak out and get him chocolate shakes and all this other kind of stuff for the airplane ride or for back at the hotel room late at night. And he was eating horrible, and he thinks it led to bad problems for him. That is where this is all going to come down to, right? We know Giannis wants to be great. Through diet, through workout, through everything, he shows he wants to be great. Kobe showed he wanted to be great. Michael Jordan showed he wanted to be great. There's not many people that have that type of focus walking the face of the earth when it comes to doing that on a day-to-day basis. We don't know what Zion Williamson's work ethic is going to be. If Zion's work ethic is good, perennial all-star. If Zion Williamson's work ethic is at like Giannis and Kobe level and getting his body sculpted the right way and everything else, well, then who knows? Then we'll see how it goes. Because that means he's really going to improve his jumper. He's going to be able to stretch out to three consistently. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. On a year-to-year basis, obviously, as far as how much he improves. But we don't know the work ethic yet.
Gary, when you look at the talent level that he has and the drive that you've already seen, and you've seen what pro sports can do and that kind of mentality and that kind of program,
right?
Are you pretty convinced that he's going to be able to drop some of the weight?
I don't know.
You don't? See,
I don't know.
It's difficult.
I mean, it is. I mean, I think he's motivated. I mean, it feels like he is. But sometimes guys are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if he doesn't drop the weight, his career will be short, unless we're seeing a second coming of something that we've never seen before, a guy who can jump and run like that at 285 for 15 years. I don't know if that can work, but we'll have to wait and see. my gut feeling now is no. Can he get to 275? I think that's about what you'll see.
And that's about 10, 15 pounds. He probably needs to drop another 10, 15
pounds. I think if he can get to 250, I think it'll be good. If he and then end up somewhere right around 260. That's still a great amount of weight to lose.
And I look at the weight distribution and the size of different guys in this league. Somebody called up about, you know, LeBron James when he walked into the league. He was skinny. Then you go and look at LeBron James when he was playing for the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
He was 265, and he was as big as a lot of defensive ends in the NFL.
Right.
Then he comes back down, and now he's around 235, 240, and like a comfortable spot. So I think there might be a balancing act that goes in and out with it, but I just feel like there's going to be too many eyes and too much money invested into this dude for him to keep ballooning up. If anything, he's going to be right about where he is. Mm-hmm. And if that's where he's going to have to play, then it is probably going to be a shorter career. But can Zion be as dominant as Giannis one day in the NBA? 414-799-1250. And in the center lane, is Patrick Mahomes better than Aaron Rodgers was at his best? Gary Ellerson, you pitched this yesterday.
Yes.
Do you believe so?
You know what? It's a tough question, and I, of course, pitched it, but it feels, I mean, because you have all these guys come along. Sometimes they're a combination of a little bit. Listen, it feels like to me Mahomes is a combination of Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, maybe a little Tom Brady, maybe a little Drew Brees. He seems like he's all those guys. I mean, he can throw it. He has pocket presence. He can run it like Rodgers. He can be accurate like Rodgers. And he can be careful with the football like Rodgers. And then he has the poise in the pocket and stand up tall like a Tom Brady. I mean, he's got – it just feels like he's all these guys wrapped into one.
And the personality-wise, the leadership style of him?
The leadership style is different because he talks more on the sideline than any of these other guys, it feels like, in motivating. Tom Brady's yelling and screaming at people, you know, trying to – but he's – Mahomes is encouraging people on the sideline. We can do this. We can get it done. Like we can score right now.
Brett Favre, you got, Steve? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson.
What you got, Steve?
Someone more like a high school feel or a kind of a college feel, because once you get to the pros, like you said, that normally stops. I mean, you saw Manning in Indianapolis screaming at his linemen, not to encourage them, but to berate them because they weren't blocking well enough for him, in his words. And Jeff Saturday yelling back at him, telling him to mind his own business.
That's what Tom Brady do.
Right,
that's
same thing, right? Yeah. But you don't see Jay Cutler wasn't rocking around hyping up the Bears sidelines or whatever.
Mm-mm.
And to be honest, we don't see a lot of that from any quarterback in the NFL. Mm-mm. So for what he's doing, it seems like more of a younger type quarterback deal that you might see in high school or maybe you'll see in college, but you don't see it at the pro level. Mm-mm. Will he continue to be this way throughout his career? Don't know, but I would have to imagine these guys play harder for him, Gary, because he is like that.
Exactly. No doubt about it. He shows it, and they know that he's all for them.
It's very similar to Deshaun Watson for me. And Deshaun Watson had one coach who everybody should respect a lot, Dabo Sweeney, one of the best college coaches of all time. Compare him to the Michael Jordan of the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, those types of athletes, those type of personalities only come around so many times and so many opportunities to be so.
No doubt about it, Billy.
Sparky, for you, is Mahomes better right now than Rodgers was at his best?
I just can't get there.
He can't get there.
No, I mean, a couple years maybe, because you had said earlier, Billy, you feel like he's not at his prime yet. Patrick Mahomes said he can get better. So a couple years maybe. There's a lot of great Aaron Rodgers runs there that season where they lost one game in the regular season. He had a huge year that year. I mean, he was unstoppable. The previous year when they go to the Super Bowl and that run in the postseason he had, again, just inhuman, immortal type stuff that he was doing there, not making mistakes, throwing pinpoint passes. No matter where on the field you are, he's throwing it right there on a dime. I don't know if Mahomes is there yet. I'll tell you this, Rodgers didn't have games like he just had in the Super Bowl where he's throwing two picks, one behind a guy, and then completely throwing it to a linebacker. Rodgers wasn't doing that early on. Now, like Gary said, he wasn't as aggressive as Mahomes maybe, right? He wasn't willing to take the chance. I don't think either one of those interceptions was him taking a chance. They were just bad passes. In the situation of like Brett Favre, he's trying to throw between two and three guys using his arm strength. Okay, that's dumb, right? We all yelled and screamed at the TV like, dude, what are you doing? There's like three guys there. Why are you trying to make that throw? I don't know if Mahomes does that a ton necessarily, but that's something that you want to see going forward and see how much more accurate he can get. Obviously, he can still throw it. I mean, the throw to Tyreek Hill, again, blown coverage, but either way, that throw pretty much put them in position to win that football game. Then he threw a couple of Sammy Watkins on that sideline. So obviously he's very, very good. He's going to own all the passing records probably when he's done, providing Andy Reid and they continue to put speed around him in Kansas City and he stays healthy. He's going to break all the passing records.
And two, I mean, that the throw to Tyreek Hill, just still watching it, watching him legitimately backpedal. For people that like video, it reminded me of the old NFL blitz where you're literally backpedaling like 20 yards to then just chuck it 55 yards down the field. You're not supposed to be able to do that off balance, going backwards, trying to make sure that DeForest Buckner and Nick Bosa, you give them an extra second and a half to come at you. He throws that off balance to be able to whip it down there 55 yards is just something to behold.
Unbelievable,
in
right?
In the left lane, how does the Mookie Betts deal make you feel as a Brewer fan, as a baseball fan? It's an embarrassment to the sport, in my opinion, because you just look at one of the most historic franchises of all time making salary dump moves while you still see organizations that should be excited because the luxury tax is working, then taking advantage and saying, you know what, we're just going to pack it in and spend $36 million on our payroll. Sparky, for you, how does the Mookie Betts deal make you feel as a Brewer fan?
I think it's disheartening, obviously. You know, seeing teams go out there, get great baseball players, then you read this morning that, oh yeah, they're trying to extend him and not let him get to free agency, Mookie Betts, and pay him a crazy ton of money. Mind you, he turned down a, what, 10-year, $300 million deal from the Boston Red Sox already. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about having to pay this dude $35, $40 million a year, 10 years, $40 million a year, $400 million or something like that. That is, I mean, there's just no way.
Crazy.
There's just no way the Brewers can do that. There's just no chance. There's no chance you could absorb huge contracts of pitchers that might still have something to give. I don't think Price is horrible necessarily. Maybe not worth the money they're paying him. But they got rid of that contract, too, to the Dodgers, and we'll see how he turns out. Brewers couldn't have done that either. And then from a prospect perspective, even though they didn't give up much for him, Brewers' farm system is abysmal right now. They're not even in a position to trade prospects. Like they were for Christian Yelich, they don't have those guys anymore to make another big trade like that in order to go get a big-name player. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just disheartening, I think, as a Brewers fan, looking at like what their starting lineup is going to be for the Dodgers. Then looking at what you're left with, and it's just like, oh, yeah, they. I mean, it's just not even close on a talent perspective.
Let me ask you this. How much money do you think Yelich is going to command?
About 40.
Yeah, I was thinking 30 to 32, somewhere
what,
in that
what,
area.
What would be the total of that contract? Total money?
Like $300 million.
$350, $365, something like that.
What's the highest paid right now?
Mike Trout at $435 million overall.
Well, he'll be paid more than Mike Trout then.
Yes and no.
Because Yelich will be older, okay. I think, when he gets to that point.
Yeah,
right?
Much older than Mike Trout was at this point in time.
You think
but,
so?
Well, he's going to be like...
I mean, he will be.
Yeah, he's going to be like 32 years old when he signs the deal.
So that...
But annual salary, he's going to make over like $32 million a year. But it's all different because Bryce Harper signed for 13 years, $330 million, so the overall number's different. But annually, he's making like 26.
Mm-hmm.
Any team in baseball could have signed him to that contract if they actually wanted to win. There's a difference in a balancing act that you got to go with. Let's go to Ryan in Brookfield. He's up on the Wendy's Big Show, Great Lake Dragway, Pick a Lane. Ryan, what's on your mind?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Just want to talk about Zion and Giannis here.
Okay, come on, wait.
I know I can't be the only one. I watched that game, and to me, Zion looked incredibly slow, almost like he had lead in his feet, like he was running through quicksand the whole game. And am I the only one that saw that, or help me out here?
No, that's just him, dude. I mean, he's got a lot of weight that he's carrying going up and down the floor. I can't imagine... I mean, he's playing, what, 25, 30 minutes a game right here the last several games. I still don't think his conditioning is where it needs to be. That was the other thing I was thinking about. Like, how is this dude going to handle an 82-game season? Like, how is he going to be physically at the end of an 82-game season?
Could
and
he
then
do-
if they make the playoffs, what is he going to be like by the time they get to the playoffs physically? Because next year will be the first time he'll get this opportunity to do this.
The same way that Kawhi Leonard is at the end of an 82-game season. He plays 60. I mean, like, there's so many different ways that you do
much?
It. You can easily rest players like that. If that's ultimately the fear of it, there's no reason why you can't rest guys in this league. And if you have a team that's good enough to be around them, and it is just about the playoffs, then you can easily do that, I think.
See, and I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think the Pelicans are in a situation next year where they need to make the playoffs one way or the other. And if Zion Williamson is the stir that stirs that drink, then he's going to play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
so.
You already seen Alvin Gentry come on and say he's going to get the ball for sure within every 4 minutes, and we have to feed him the basketball. You saw how bad they were, even though Ingram's an all-star and Lonzo Ball got better. Without Zion Williamson, they weren't a very good basketball team. Now, with Zion Williamson and going into next season, I think, maybe I'll be wrong, but I think playoffs are going to be the expectations for that program. for that team next year.
They need better players. I mean, with the NBA, I'm sure they can get an 8th or 7th seed, though, right?
Yeah, no, well, I think they're. West, I think they're.
Then I think they're looking at probably getting back in the lottery again. I mean, if there were them, that's where I would play it, to get this guy more help.
They'll most likely be in the lottery this year. They, yeah. They have, I mean, Brandon Ingram, who developed into an absolute all-star this right. year. If Lonzo Ball makes a third-year jump as well. They got a lot of young players. And also, they're not done using the draft picks that they got from the Anthony mm-hmm. Davis deal. Correct. I mean, they yeah. took four guys in the first or three guys in the first round last year. They'll have another chance to take two or three more yeah, in the young. First round this year. Yeah. They're incredibly young, mm-hmm. and I think they're going to grow together and just become yeah. Even better. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Studios. It's the Lenny's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Can you talk about J&J Contractors?
Yeah, let me, can I talk about it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
My good friends over at J&J Contractors, you know him, Jason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go see him. If you want to renovate your home, Billy, if you want to redo your kitchen, countertops, cabinets, bathroom. If you want to add a livable space in your house.
It sounds like a great idea.
Man cave, Billy. And if you have kids, get kids' playroom in the basement. Because a lot of people don't have that basement built out.
Ready to go.
If you want to add that
easiest
bathroom.
Easiest place to send them.
Extra bathroom in your house. You can add an extra bathroom in your house as well. Add on to your house. They can do all that and more. Call my good friends up today at J&J Contractors and ask for Jason.
So Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Come on back. Leroy Butler leaps into the studios, maybe, on The Fan.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Welcome back. It's Pick a Lane here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. JT tweets in to, can Zion be as dominant as Giannis someday? If Zion is going to succeed, he has to drop some pounds. What was it, his eighth grade game when he was gassed in the second quarter? I don't see him losing and keeping the weight off unless somebody has a come-to-Jesus talk with him. That conversation, as Leroy Butler leaps in here with Carlson Blau and Clemens, get the injury settlement you deserve at 414-342-1000. I think that come to Jesus meeting can happen much quicker than people want to anticipate in professional sports, because you're now an investment.
I think, remember Barkley used to be the round mound of rebound type at 6'4". He was out rebounding everybody. I've seen a lot of guys in great shape and they're terrible. I've seen guys with six packs on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Do what you do. I mean, I just don't get that. It just makes me want to throw up when you got 300-pound guys who are telling him to get his shape.
Yeah, you got a 350-pound guy over here saying, like, hey, probably could lose a couple pounds.
Yeah, come on, man. It's about results. Do what you do, man. I don't care. Just play.
So what'd you see out of him last night as he went up against Giannis one-on-one a few times?
Well, Giannis is still the man. Nobody can outdo Giannis, man. This is just amazing what he's doing. I'm just glad he's on team here in Milwaukee, the smallest market, seems like, gets no love. But he creates his own love. And Giannis likes when you're going at him, though. He likes that. He fuels out that. And
all right, so I hit you with the right lane. Let me hit you with the center lane. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Is Patrick Mahomes better than Aaron Rodgers was at
man,
his best?
No, Aaron Rodgers was a machine, man.
You didn't see machine-like stuff that he did on Sunday?
Jazz hands, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We prisoner of the moment. But let's come on, man. And Aaron Rodgers, put this in context.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers went through the most slander of any person taking over a franchise ever. I don't think Steve Young went through this when he took over for the dimple in the chin, Montana. Oh, people didn't like it.
Sure.
But the Brett Favre fans hated Aaron Rodgers, so he had to do all of that and go out and play like a machine. So, I don't see it.
You guys don't think Alex Smith lovers in Kansas City were disappointed that Patrick Mahomes is going to take over as the starting quarterback?
Come on, man.
No.
Come on. Nah. So, it depends. If you have, as a quarterback and pitchers and kickers, certain people mentally, you got to be mentally ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers had, like, what did I do? I'm just trying to be his friend.
It had to be
resilient. You know, I know he didn't like the grandpa comment, but come on. So they weren't friends. He's sitting in the all that. Then
all
to,
that
you had to deal with the people who did it like Brett. I mean, the people who loved Brett Favre that didn't like him for whatever reason. To put all that aside, go to Super Bowl 45 and win it.
I'm one of the biggest Brett Favre fans of all time. Dude, that grandpa comment was funny. I mean, it was funny. You got to laugh at that. That's funny, man.
Especially
he walks in and says, Gramps, what's up, dude?
When you call yourself old. Well, I'm just an old
then
guy.
You deserve it. Yes, then you deserve it.
Then when a guy says that, because it's going to happen when the Packers bring in a young quarterback. He may read these or hear this comment and do it.
It's like when I walked in with Tim Allen. I was like, Gramps, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Louie's in Franklin. He's up on Great Lakes Dragway. Louie, you're on the fan.
Afternoon, boys. Leroy, sorry about what happened over the past weekend.
You'll that was a blessing, my brother. It was a blessing. We keep it in mind.
So hopefully somebody keeps an eye on Gary. He may have a little bit of a heart murmur here. Let's put some respect on Aaron Rodgers' name a little bit. If you compare statistically Aaron's two MVP years with Mahomes' first 2 years, they're pretty comparable, actually. I think the rating is 117 to 110. Touchdowns, interception. I think Mahomes has like 7 more. Mahomes has more yards. Aaron's got a slightly better completion percentage. So that's his 2 best years in his prime compared to him. Now that I put some respect on his name, there are certain things that you watch, and you do not have to be an expert, and you know what you're watching. I know what I was watching in the 80s with Dan Marino. I know what I was watching in the mid-90s with Brett Favre. I know what I was watching in the late 2000s with Peyton Manning. I know what I was watching in the mid-2010s with Aaron Rodgers, and I know what I'm watching right now. His only opponent to all-time greatness is time. That's it. 5 years from now, I don't think there's going to be a conversation. And like Marino and like Aaron, their talent just far exceeds everybody else you've ever seen, that they don't need as many rings to be up there. He has one ring. His career accomplishments are pretty much half of Aaron's or 2 seasons. One less All-Pro, one less MVP. He's got 5 playoff wins compared to 10. So it's a hell of a start. But I'd be a little hypocritical if I would have called in back in 2010 after his first MVP and we were calling Aaron the most talented quarterback ever and calling in when we were pushing Giannis before he was quite at the level. But to some of your guys' credit, you saw it. And I'm telling you what I see. Whether you call it Marino, whether you call it Rodgers or Mahomes, I think there's an argument both ways to who is the most talented and skilled thrower of football, and I don't think you're wrong if you pick any of those 3 guys.
Appreciate it,
He's Rodgers 3.0.
Mm-hmm.
He's everything Rodgers has physically. He's got the creativity of Brett Favre, and he's got the affinity of for the moment, where you just know you have an opportunity to win any game, any stage, just like you did with Joe Montana. The guy, he's what Aaron should have been. And now we're at the end. He's what Marino would have been if he had won that title in his second year. That's what we're watching. And I know it's easy for us in our market to anoint our guys too early, and we just don't even want to talk about the other guys. But I think you'd have to be pretty idiotic to not look at what he can do on the football field and not know what you're seeing. I know what I saw when I saw Tiger Woods when he was young. I know what I'm watching. I'm watching a guy that all he needs to do is stay healthy, and he is a top 10 quarterback of all time.
Thanks for the phone call. And here's how we'll know. Aaron Rodgers had the same coach for 13 years, 10 years, whatever. If Eric Bieniemy is the heir apparent, then yes. If Eric Bieniemy leaves, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. You got to stay in the same system. This guy's in shotgun 90,000% of the time. Okay? Even when he hands the ball off, it just like
it's a lot of shotgun running. You're right. There is more than anybody else in the
league. There is no running game. The running game is by committee. And Damon Williams looked good. But remember, it's by committee. Aaron Rodgers always had to every now and then give it to the Eddie Lacy's of the world, the James Starks or whatever. But Aaron Rodgers was never in the shotgun 100% of the time and just throwing it all over the place, except for a couple of years when he put up big numbers. But accuracy, no interceptions, I mean, it was just truly amazing.
to be able to see if he's going to be able to do it in 4 years from right now or 5 years from right now after he signs the big $200 million extension that's going to come here within the next 2 years for Pat Mahomes. That's also going to be just one of the biggest proving grounds for everybody. Can he do it once you take away the Tyreek Hills, once you take away the Mecole Hardmans? But if you keep drafting guys in the second, third round that fit that same scheme and you're able to cycle him back out, you're
well, Tyreek Hill just signed a new deal, so he'll be there for a minute.
Sammy Watkins is going to be the one. Misspoke. Yeah. He's going to be the one that could possibly leave.
Well, you never know. He may not command a lot of money because he got paid when he got there. He could, I don't know.
But big money when he got there.
Some of those other guys, or the Hartmans and the Robinsons and those guys, that are just.
Or the Chris Jones on the other side of the ball.
They're side orders to the entree. If you can get your size right, sometimes you can eat the sides are so good, you're full.
You're full?
You're full, cuz. But if the entree is on point, you don't even need those guys. All he has to do is run that offense. If Eric Bieniemy leaves and there's no heir apparent, then we're going to have to find out. Now, if you put him in a West Coast-style offense, he ain't going to put up those numbers because it's call for you to throw it deep so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just underneath stuff.
Leroy, I got a question. Do you think there are any quarterbacks in the history of the NFL that wouldn't matter what offense you put him in, they'd be playing at a high level?
Oh, I think a ton of those guys.
That if you were in Bieniemy's offense, LaFleur's offense, McCarthy's offense, doesn't matter, high level either way.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the guys. I would say every guy on the 100th anniversary.
Sure.
And I think Aaron Rodgers in any offense can put up 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, and be good. I think it's a lot of guys. Tom Brady will be good in any offense. The guy's just good.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. You talk about Mike McCarthy. Talk about his offense. He wins a Super Bowl in Dallas. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Well, he's got two with two organizations. That usually gets you in the Hall of Fame, yeah. And the winning percentage is still pretty.
It's like 61% right now going into this
season.
Well,
he won the most game other than anybody in the hoodie for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know what's a Hall of Famer almost.
Yeah, well, I know. I know. Right. But if you think about it, though, right?
Coaches.
Yeah. If you think about
two
it,
rings
right,
get you in as a coach.
Two rings.
The Flores should be.
Two different.
Agreed. Flores should
two
be.
So different, maybe don't. Two don't, different yeah. organizations.
Yep. I don't. Has to be.
That's why I thought Mike Hunger would have a good chance. Whenever time you take two different. Two
not
different
take.
Quarterbacks.
Wins.
No, win.
Win.
Now, see, I go to be there because it's so hard to be there.
Well, yeah, we know
that's
that.
That's
why
I thought the Buffalo franchise was amazing. They went four times. They lost.
Levy's the only one in without a ring as a coach. He's the only one.
That's what I'm saying. When you take your team there four times, that's amazing.
Well, you know what's also amazing?
And all of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Most of all those guys.
Does that scare you? If he wins one against Dallas, he's a Hall of Famer. Does that scare?
No, because he's in a Hall. He's in the Hall of Fame.
No, not you. I mean, I'm talking to people out there. Does that scare the Aaron
like
Rodgers?
You wish you would. Keep
I don't
him?
Know.
Does that scare the Aaron Rodgers fan?
What do you mean, like scare?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Because they don't like McCarthy because they think he ruined Rodgers and all that stuff.
Oh no, he didn't. Rodgers is good either way. He's fine. I just think that when if he does go in the Hall of Fame, it's going to be because he was a Packer. Ain't gonna be nothing he did with the Cowboys. He ain't gonna be there for 13 years.
He's not a Hall
years,
of Famer right now.
But he's not gonna be there for 13 years. Because they're gonna be so bad, they're gonna get rid of him after the first contract, probably.
Right.
They want to try to win.
4 years?
5 years.
Five. After
are
5 years.
Are they gonna sign Dak Prescott?
Yeah, they have to. They're
franchise
nobody else.
Tag him.
What's that number? 36? What's that number? What is that number, Steve?
$34 million.
You normally know that.
You normally know
you're
that.
Slipping.
We got Rodgers.
Because why would you offer Brady? That's a good point. Why would you offer Brady less than what you can franchise him for? That's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying it's 34 just for the sake of argument, and you say, oh, we're willing to pay him 30, if I'm Brady, deuces.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm out of here. That's why he's going to go play in Vegas, where he should.
I ain't going there.
No, I'm on my way already. No. See you.
No, I ain't going there.
Bovril Beer, premium quality beer due to its superior ingredients, only 100% natural barley, the freshest hops, and the freshest spring water.
That was my read. He would have never did me like that.
They're used in the production of Bovril Beer, guys. Over 250 years, they've been brewing their beer to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness, and they've been doing that since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg. Everything in their lineup, from the crisp pilsner, the smooth triple, and the perfectly balanced brew designed to give you the full flavor that does not fill you up. Here's a little secret about Bovril Beer. Unlike the other imports that you're drinking, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. It's not brewed in mass quantities. You don't have to put a piece of fruit in it to make it taste good. Bovending is good because it's made in small batches with a personal family touch. You can go test them out today right now with a six-pack of Total Wine and More, Otto's, or any Festival Foods location on tap at Cafe Hollander, the Nomad, or Revere's in Delafield. And if you have two opportunities this weekend, you have the chance to go test out Bovending absolutely free. Swing over by the Festival Foods in Hales Corners from 5 to 7 on Friday, or visit Piggly Wiggly in Watertown on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Once again, it's Festival Foods in Hales Corners, 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, or Piggly Wiggly in Watertown Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's all drink in the boff with Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import, Bofording Beer. It's the Wendy's Big Show back after this on The Fan.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh on The Fan from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studio. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Packer Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler, Dan Plucker doing an amazing job producing the show today. The Wendy's Big Show. Don't forget, coming up tonight, Good City Brewing, the big unit, Bill Michaels with Steve Novak. That show should be called the Steve Novak
Shooter!
Show.
Shooter!
It should be the Steve Novak Show.
Why don't you
show?
Just call him Shooter? I'm going to tell him that, the Lombardi thing.
Yeah.
I always see him.
Right.
He's one of my favorites. And I'll just walk up to him and say, we're going to change your name to the Shooters Club.
Shooters Club. There should be a Shooters Club.
It should be.
I think it's a great idea. You have, like, Johnny jackets Mack. And shirts and the whole deal.
Well, me, Michael Red.
You'd be the president of it.
Me, Michael Red.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Makes sense. Yeah, you'd live that dream. So, also, coming up tonight, Pat Connaughton. Who will be in the slam dunk contest?
You
coming
saw
up
him
this
dunk
weekend.
On like six people. Come on, cuz.
Yep, he'll be down there from 6
That's
to 7 at Good City Brewing if you want to go see Pat Connaughton down there. So make sure to stop
leave
down
it here. We're going to leave it here.
Good City Brewing. What are we leaving where?
What's the game?
Nobody's listening.
What's the game called?
What?
The game bags? Where you throw the bean bag. What's the game called?
I call it bags. I don't know.
Oh, it's just bags.
People call it cornhole. There's all kinds
that's
of stuff for it.
Yeah. When I go when I go to the Brewer game, people are playing.
Tailgating, for
and
sure.
And a six-year-old kid beat me. I stopped.
They
I'm
have
tired.
Leagues for that at bars during the wintertime.
Really?
People play that leagues in bars during
Very
the wintertime.
Nice.
You know how they play darts?
Yeah.
They also have bag leagues that you can go play inside bars the same way.
Yeah, I'm no good at that.
And I think...
You got to help me bowl better.
I could be wrong. Plucker could help me. But I think ESPN shows competitive bag leagues sometimes in the middle of the night. From time to time. Ain't that right, Plucker? Don't they show competitive bag leagues?
Oh, yeah. And then they'll do ESPN The Ocho that one day a year. They do like a full day of tournaments like that.
Right, like dart tournaments and the whole deal.
That ain't the first thing popped in my head.
What?
How many black folks doing it, cuz?
I don't know. I've never watched it. I've just seen it on the guide.
He vowed for it.
Plucker!
All right, Plucker.
How many brothers you saw doing it? Thank you.
Not many.
Thank you.
Not many.
Y'all can have that.
Bags ain't your thing.
No, cuz.
So
a young man made me one, so.
Well, I mean, that brings up an interesting point. I'll bite.
Dang.
So then what do y'all do for tailgating?
Barbecue. Just eat and drink.
Barbecue.
Eat, drink.
Barbecue for tailgating.
Yeah, eat and drink.
But you ain't playing any games.
No.
Yeah, we may throw down some spades.
We may play some spades.
But you're not playing like beer pong. That's out, right?
No.
Not doing beer pong. No.
Not
doing beer pong, no.
No, because we ain't trying to really get drunk right away.
Why would you want a ball to be in your beer?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Do we need subtitles for that?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Why you need balls for your bill?
Yeah. I think that's a drop.
No,
we ain't doing that.
Take that.
It's disgusting.
It is. Because then Joe,
but that's not really
put
a white or black thing. I think that's
on.
Just a millennial thing.
Yeah, we ain't trying.
That's what baby Tosh them like.
You just get
college
you
kids.
Yeah, just get you
grown
some.
Grown folks like you ain't doing that.
I ain't doing that.
No.
I don't like beer to start with, so that's probably the first reason why I'm not doing
that. But you like that Jack.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah, I'm all right with that. Might help clear,
get you
but
some brown.
Go
get you a little
brown.
Yeah.
But
Palak only drinks bourbon, though. Nothing else. Nothing. That's when you're just homed in. Nothing.
Steve
but that.
Palak is a
nothing.
Friend of the show. Does
nothing.
Not work at
he
the radio
station. He don't drink nothing but bourbon. No water. Nothing. Gatorade. Nothing.
Come on, he drinks milk, right?
No.
Milk with his meal.
He drank bourbon with his cereal, cuz.
No, he does not. Stop.
You want?
Come on.
If you don't
want
the truth,
I want a video.
Don't ask me.
I want a video.
He won't
have
let
him
me
tweet
video.
Out a video of the brown stuff and some like Cheerios.
No,
tweet
I it put it,
only me
put it
and
on
Luke,
Instagram.
His dog, knows it because we were the only two there. And Luke can't talk. So
Luke can't talk. I've seen Luke talk before on Instagram.
Well, he almost ran him over.
Who is Luke?
The dog? Lucas, his dog, he's a, what kind of dog is he, Gary?
He's like one of them big poodles.
We'll go with that.
One of them big poodles.
Yeah, he's got a poodle?
Yeah.
But he's big.
Big like poodle, the tall one. I don't know what they call
barks,
them. What they call them, Steve? They got them little poodles and the big poodles. What they call
the
them?
Teacups.
If anybody know, 414-799-1250. They got a big poodle and a little poodle. I don't know what they call them.
No, you're right. But Gary's driving up.
And one of them don't shed.
And Lucas going out to greet him. And so Gary's a senior, so, you know, they sometimes drive a little without, you know, they just drive and don't even pay attention a little bit. I said, Luke, come on back, man. This man gonna run you over. He stopped and came back. Otherwise, Gary would have hit him. So I appreciate the dog being smarter than most adults.
Lori, trade deadline is tomorrow for the NBA.
I ain't messing with it, Steve. Not unless you want to try to get Kuzma.
Markieff Morris of the Pistons is rumored to be a guy the Bucks are interested in, as are the Lakers, amongst others.
For what?
I can't be giving up much for Markieff Morris.
The chemistry second round pick, is so good.
I don't know.
That's why I want you to watch their tapes when they're having these fake fights.
Oh, the fake wrestling matches before the game?
The chemistry is amazing. Only guy I would bring in is Kyle Kuzma because they're trying to dump him off to somebody.
I don't know what they want.
But I don't know what they want now.
There are numerous teams, according to sources, that are interested in Dante DiVincenzo. But
see, they may want him.
It doesn't
sound
like the Bucks have any interest in really moving Dante DiVincenzo at this point. But apparently there is interest out there in him.
He's an ascending player that I would love to keep. But if you're trying to get to the next level, if you're trying to get a 6'8", 6'10 guy that can play two positions, I may listen at that. He's the only guy that I see. Unless you got somebody.
You're a Lakers fan, for everybody listening. That's why he loves Kuzma. He's seen Kuzma more than most of you probably
have. In this offense, he'd be amazing.
Shoot it.
He'd just be amazing. He can run the floor. He'll do everything. And
why hasn't it worked out in L.A.?
Too many moving parts. It really does. You got LeBron James, you got AD, and everybody else. The ball is only going in two spots.
Right.
And he's the one. He wants to start. They want him to be a six man, and it's all confusing.
Gary,
he'll be a legitimate
six
man.
Is there anything you want for this Bucks team with the trade deadline coming up?
Or position.
I think I want another shooter.
Don't mess with it.
Right. But at what position, though? A one, two?
Like a long three. Four. Somewhere like that.
But they got a lot of four.
Don't mess with it, Roy.
I mean, really.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I mean, if you look at this, a backup two would be really nice, too, behind Wesley Matthews instead of Sterling Brown.
This is how teams screw stuff up.
Yeah, you're right. Because he got the best team.
That's the best team
in the NBA.
Yes, I agree.
Let's roll with that.
I mean, if
you don't win, you don't win it.
But if you move.
It ain't going to be because you didn't do nothing right now.
No, but if you move a guy into the locker room at the expense of Dragon Bender or something, it's not end of the world stuff.
You're not going to get much better than Dragon Bender.
Huh?
If you took in a trade Dragon Bender.
No. I'm saying you would have to move on from Dragon Bender to get said player on the roster.
Right.
So I trade a future second or a future one for somebody
to bring player in. That player ain't going to help you win on it.
Because what you're talking about is that guy that's going to play in front of Sterling Brown.
I'm just saying that guy ain't going to help you win no title.
Right now, Eric Bledsoe goes down. You have George Hill and DiVincenzo. Those are your backup points.
That player is not helping you win a title. Whoever that is.
If somebody can come off the bench and score 14, 15 points, I look at it.
They ain't got none of them players out there.
The chemistry is just so good.
Like Bellinelli in San Antonio.
Yeah. Oh, stop. See,
letting it go.
Guy. There's a shooter, right?
There's
a shooter.
He would definitely let it go.
I mean, that's
he goes, see, why are you playing in this with Steve?
No, I'm just saying, what was the young man?
He likes shooters.
What was the man that we brought in last year?
Shooter walking, man.
He likes shooters.
Why are you playing this with this man?
Well, that we have to play.
That's how he does it, man. No, man.
The guy named the Ford we brought in, and he left and went overseas and never played no more. He was here last year. 6'10 guy shooter. Last year. He was here last year.
I don't remember.
The guy we traded for him last year, doing late in the season. I can't think of his name, but
I'm old. I don't remember.
He was a shooter.
Plucker's raising his hand. Yes, Dan Plucker.
Mirotić.
There you go. Good job, Plucker.
They added him, but he went cold. So if they got somebody like that who's a shooter that would fit, and maybe occasionally, because Giannis leads the team in all rebound and all scoring, and he'll probably lead the team. And assists at the end of the year. In all major categories. When he's out or taking a spell, what's the next guy? How deep
Middleton's
can you go in your bench?
Middleton's got to be that guy.
He's the guy. He's the all-star. How deep can you go in your bench?
Nine.
Well, if you can go nine, Gary's right. You shouldn't touch it.
8-9.
If yeah, he was going like 7.
George Hill's off the bench. Kyle Korver's off the bench. Ersatt's off the bench. Robin Lopez is off the bench. That's 9.
Yeah, those role players.
Right,
role
but that's player. 9. That's yeah. There's your 9.
And, those guys are buy-in.
And I didn't say DiVincenzo, who's playing well, so that's 10.
Why would they even?
Right.
So if they don't do something, y'all going to be acting up?
I'm fine not doing anything.
So I want to hear about the base.
No, I don't think a lot of people really think they need to go do anything.
Okay.
There's a percentage.
You know what's going to happen if they don't do something. Oh, we never do nothing.
I think
Milwaukee's small-minded market.
I think there's a percentage of people that would love to see him move Eric Bledsoe for a better guard. I think there is not a huge percentage, but I think there's a small percentage that would say, boy, if we could get Drew Holiday instead of Eric Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. That would really help move things along a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, Chris Mannix the other day, an NBA insider.
I like Chris Mannix.
Said are some within the organization that feel George Hill runs this team better than Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, but I need George to come off, though, to calm everything down.
Drew Bledsoe, but the both of those guys work together well.
Yeah, and Eric Bledsoe offensively can get going.
Yeah.
Ask George Hill. He's shooting the three really well this year.
Eric Bledsoe is all defense. I ain't getting rid of that. Do y'all forget this guy? There's only one team he get frustrated with, that's Boston. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, he'll lock them down.
Lock them down.
I ain't getting rid of that. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see who really makes those big moves, because we're going to have a guy out from Philly tomorrow. What's his name? John Johnson, is that what it is? Great name.
Philly guy. They ain't got no money.
He went and talked to Al Horford today, said, hey, is there anything going on that we need to know about? And he said, well, there's some stuff going on in the locker room, but we're going to keep that internal.
Well, good for him.
That means they got some chemistry stuff going on. They got to do something in Philly. They got to shake that up. I don't know what obviously the coach knows. Brett Brown knows.
Videos.
GM knows. They got to do something, I think, to shake that up, because otherwise they're just going to continue to slide back.
2 minute person.
Yeah. No doubt.
I heard they got arguments about who had the nicest car, who had the expensive car. When you think about that instead of on the court, you're going to have some issues.
And Al Horford has to be the guy of reason. With a young guy like Embiid, a young guy like Simmons, a lot of these other guys. He's got to go be that leader. And if he can't fix it and can't get it under control, well, then they got to do something at some point, I would think. All right, take a quick time. I will come back. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, Good City Brewing right across from Fiserv Forum. That's going to be our guy, Steve Novak, right? Former Marquette legend, former Milwaukee Buck, NBA player, shooter, as Leroy says. Bill Michaels, a big unit. And Pat Connaughton will be in the dunk contest All-Star Weekend, 6-7 tonight. Listen to the show here on The Fan, or better yet, go down to Good City Brewing, grab some dinner, have a beverage or two, and check out the show. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Packer Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer finalist. So, Leroy, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, this Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist thing. So, like, when we introduce you or people introduce you now going forward, is it Packer Hall of Famer and Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist going forward? Or, like, how do you want to be introduced? I just want to get this clarified.
Just Leroy Butler.
Not the Packer Hall of Fame thing?
Because
I always say that. Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler.
Just say Leroy Butler.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, special sit-down conversation with Gary Ellerson and just normal Leroy Butler.
Is that
Butler.
Live?
Tomorrow
or
night. Nope.
Don't say,
yep, man, you were part of it. 6-7 tomorrow
was that
night.
Brown with
make
me?
Sure to tune in. Tune in and find out if it was Gilbert Brown or not. Time now for the Chevy Drive Home moment of the Big Show.
It's time for the Chevy Drive Home moment of the Big Show.
And I can remember even back when Aaron Rodgers and the young Packers won it after the end of the 2010 season, we were asking that. And it certainly felt like with them winning the Super Bowl, despite how many injuries they had that year, it could be the start of something big in Green Bay.
Correct.
Which is why I've been pumping the brakes on the Chiefs and Mahomes quite a bit. I mean, if you think about it, Dan Marino, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, total number of Super Bowl appearances after their first one, was zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. None of them ever got back again. Now, I kind of think Mahomes will get back. I kind of think he'll probably win another one. But it is very, very difficult.
Your drive home today on The Fan was driven by WisconsinDrivesChevy.com.
Ross Tucker, Radio.com, NFL Insider. With your Chevy Drive Home moment of the big show. You can always do that rewind thing within 24 hours of the Radio.com app that's installed right there nicely on your phone. If you want to listen to the rest of that Ross Tucker interview. Only got about 60 seconds left or so in the show. Gary Ellerson, yes. What are the plans for tonight?
Well, young Brock is driving over to the house for the first time.
All right.
Stevie.
Hey, I...
Right, so hopefully he gets there safe, praying.
Did he pick his girl up on the way?
No, I know.
I gotta tell you real quick. I don't know why.
He dropped off already.
I don't know why I had this dream. I have no idea. I had a dream last night, and I woke up from it.
Yeah.
That I was in a car with Mike Clemens, and we were driving, and he was driving, and we were driving.
That's a nightmare.
We were driving backwards down a county road while he was reading a newspaper and driving backwards down a county road. And then a car rear-ended us, and then I woke up.
That sounds like some Mike Clemens stuff.
Man, yeah. That's crazy stuff.
No, unless he had a sandwich. Yeah.
No, he wasn't eating any food, I don't think.
Well, he ain't
still reading a paper going backwards. That was weird. He's Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 on the Wendy's Big Show. Up next, Good City Brewing, Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Bill Michaels, Steve Novak, and Pat Connaughton live from Good City Brewing here on The Fan.
See you, Pat.
Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.